talking on a very powerful subject. There's some of y'all that has only come a few times and can think it's the only thing I talk about, but it's not. Before I get started, I just want to tell you, I need you to know so you can be praying, and also just, it's better this way. Everybody knows Beth, my daughter. Just so to stop any rumor mills or anything that's going on, my Beth got arrested. All right? So here's all I want you to do for me. Here's what I need you to do for her and for us. She's 24 years old. She's out of my hands in that aspect, but she's not out of God's hands. She's still out of my heart and out of my ability to help what I can. Here's what I need you to do. Number one is pray. Pray. You hear me? Pray. Number two is if you have any questions, instead of going to each other and asking them, ask me. You got any questions, just ask me. If I know the answer, I'll give it to you. If I don't, I'll tell you I don't know it. Number three, if you happen to hear the rumor mill, you know what your job is? Stop the rumor mill. Because here's our chance. This is an opportunity for Bethany to step up. Okay? But number two, this is a chance for us to become a vehicle of grace and a community of compassion versus a vehicle of confusion. Amen? Because I can tell you, my heart's broke. I've done a lot of crying over this, so don't think I'm up here just looking like everything's fine and dandy. It's not. One side of me wants to strangle her, the other side of me wants to pick her up and love on her, because as dads always do, I said, I told you. Okay? So now, but she's been arrested. She's not ever. She's out right now, but again, I'd much rather you come to me and ask me straight out what's going on than for you to go to somebody else, because I can guarantee you, you know, a rumor can travel around the world three times before the truth has a chance to put its shoes on. Okay, so just come to me. I'm not trying to hide it. She's there. Now, if I don't think they got the jailbird anymore, if they do, she'll be in it waving. Okay. Okay. So just remember that. So today, and I thought that out of all times for this to happen, and I've been spending a lot of time with her yesterday. Matter of fact, it was probably 3 o'clock in the morning before I got through even her mother and I doing some stuff working on her behalf, but it was 10 o'clock last night before we got through working with her and 3 o'clock in the morning because she's out. So just remember, just be praying, okay? And again, remember, we are a community of compassion, okay? Matter of fact, just remember this, and here's what I think. Well, Daniel, actually, this is kind of funny. Daniel was trying to make me feel better, and Daniel said, you remember all the stupid things we did? He said, you remember all the times we had the law bring us home, and all these people talk to us and tell you how our youngins are going? I said, yeah, Daniel. He says, oh, Daddy, are we free now? And so, no. Hers is a biggie. Hers is once, but it's a biggie. But y'all got a long string. Matter of fact, it can stretch from here to Chocolate. Amen. If you put y'all together, we could go places. Amen. So we're going to talk about attitude today. Again, somebody say, wow, we love to talk about attitude. Tell somebody, man. I'm going to quit talking about attitude because every time I talk about attitude, something like this happens. And so last week I was telling you about Tuesday, how when I started talking about attitude, how all these things came to affect my attitude. And Bethany was involved in some of them, but not to this degree. And Thursday night I was on the way home, and my biggest decision on the way home was, should I got barbecue chicken or fried chicken? And then I get this phone call, and then the chicken didn't matter anymore. Okay, so look, get your Bibles out. Stand for the reading of the Word. We're going to start a series. Matter of fact, I had no plans of doing this. This was not in the agenda. And last week, the Lord started dealing with me about talking about our attitude. And you, normally, like today, it's going to be an overall general attitude sermon. But starting in the weeks to come, how many's ever heard these people have a defeated attitude? Or these people have a guilty attitude? Or these people have a harsh attitude? Well, coming up in the weeks to come, I'm not even sure what it's going to be called, probably your outlook, but it's going to be dealing with outlook and how you handle things, and it's going to start with those with a guilty attitude. How many in here has ever had a guilty attitude? Amen? If when I said that, if you felt the need to do this, You've had it sometime. Amen. Amen. Okay. Philippians 4. Is everybody cool? Everybody ready? The community of compassion? A community of compassion. All right. Amen. Is everybody hot? Amen. Can we do, where's Eddie? Can we do a little bit of something about that, Brother Eddie? Okay. Your attitude is shown. Philippians 4, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. Y'all say learned. Sometimes you can't tell you. Sometimes you got to learn. Bethany right now is learning, okay? But the bad part is Daddy is learning too, and Daddy don't like going to class when he don't have to. Okay. I have learned. Sometimes God says just telling you is not enough. How many here, most of the time, the first time you hear it, you got it, and you won't go the other way ever again? There's no hands up here. Okay, well, there's one, but we know we'll be talking about the attitude of lions later, Daniel. He's smiling, playing with him, he knows. Okay, now that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. For I know both how to be abased or be at the very bottom, as low as you can get. I know how to abound everywhere and in all things, in church, in my job, in my home. For I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But here's the key. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I am up to the task is what it's talking about. I'm up to the task through Christ, which strengthens me. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We know you're alive and well on the throne, Father. We know, God, that you're working in our midst, Father. There's absolutely nothing impossible for you, Father. I ask you, Lord, right now, Lord, to be with every one of us, Lord. Let this word sink deep within us, Lord. Help us, God, to feel and know that your anointing and your power and your presence is here. And help us to know and understand, Father, that you've got a higher plane for us to reach for and a higher plane for us to walk upon. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and anoint in the name of Jesus. We love you. We praise your name. And the church said, yeah. Amen. You can be seated. Now, I'm just going to quickly try to talk about a mother's attitude. I know it's 10 minutes to 11. We had communion. So please, I promise you it won't be that long. If it is, please don't have a bad attitude about it. What time is it? I don't know what. My watch is off. Is it 10 minutes? It's 10 minutes to 1. 12. Oh, okay. It was 10 minutes to 1. Y'all go ahead and go. But I don't know. It was 10 minutes. Okay. A mother's attitude. I'm going to do it quickly now, so you got to listen. First, a mother's wardrobe. The first baby, you begin wearing maternity clothes as soon as your doctor confirms your pregnancy. The second baby, you wear your regular clothes as long as possible. The third baby, your maternity clothes are your regular clothes. Number two, a mom preparing for the birth. First baby, you practice your breathing religiously. The second baby, you don't bother practicing because you remember the last time that breathing thing didn't work. Third baby, you ask for an epidural in your eighth month. Baby's clothing. The first baby, you pre-wash your newborn's clothes, color coordinate them, and fold them neatly in the baby's little bureau. Isn't that sweet? Second baby, you check to make sure the clothes are clean and discard any of the ones that have the dirtiest stains. Third baby, can boys wear pink? They can, can't they? Here you go. Mama's mad attitude. Pacifier. The first baby, if the pacifier falls on the floor, you put it away until you can go home and wash it and boil it. Second baby, when the pacifier falls on the floor, you squirt it with some juice from the baby's bottle. Third baby, you wipe it off on your shirt and pop it back in. Diapering. First baby, you change your baby's diapers every hour whether they need it or not. Second baby, you change their diaper every 2 to 3 hours if needed. The third baby, you try to change their diaper before others start to complain about the smell or you see it sagging to their knees. It took me a while to understand. When DC came along, he was like guinea pig. I had to try to understand that 10-pound diaper did not mean it's how much it would hold. Ha, Going out, the first baby, the first time you leave your baby with a setter, you call the house five times. The second baby, you just, before you walk out the door, you remember to leave a number where you can be reached. The third baby, you leave instructions for the setter to call only if she sees blood. And the last one, at home. The first baby, you spend a good bit of every day just gazing at the baby. The second baby, you spend a little bit every day watching to be sure your older child doesn't squeeze it or poke it or hit the baby. And the third baby, you spend a little bit of time every day hiding from the children. Amen. Mama's attitude. So let's talk about attitude. I promise you I won't keep you long. If I do, like I said, y'all pray for me. Amen. Now, how many know in here the most powerful thing that you possess other than the life of God within you? The life of God within you is the most powerful thing you possess. All right? But not only do you possess it, it possesses you. Okay, the power of God within you. But not only is that awesome, and that's number one, but number two is your attitude. Well, one of the things that will allow an individual to become successful is their attitude. Do you know that? Their attitude. Successful people don't have fewer problems there than unsuccessful people. The difference is their mindset. It's how they deal with them. Everybody in here's got problems. If you got a problem in here, raise your hand. Do not point at it. If you got a problem here, raise your hand. If you don't have a problem, raise your hand. We will pray for you for God to give you one. Because we want y'all to be left out. Amen. No. If you got a problem, it's a launching pad for a miracle. So it's all in how people deal with their problems. Your attitude can make you and it can break you. It can heal you or hurt you. It can make you friends or make you enemies. It can make you happy or make you miserable. It can make you a success or it can actually make you a failure. So watch this now. Anybody here want to know how to have a bad attitude? I'm going to tell you how to have a bad attitude. If you turn to the book of Philippians chapter 2, we're going to talk about this. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, let this attitude, that's that word mind means, let this attitude be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. And that his name every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess in heaven and earth, that he is Lord. So now watch this now. If you want to have a bad attitude, get ready. Write these down because you can do these things here will get you through the day in a bad way. Ready? If you want a bad attitude, watch this now. Allow your attitude to be based on your circumstances. Allow your attitude to be based on your circumstances, to be based on what you were going through right now. Number two, adapt to when and then thinking. When I get a new car, when I get a wife, I'll be happy. When I get rid of my wife, I'll be... When I find a husband, I'll finally be happy. When I get rid of one, oh God, get rid of him, I'll be happy, okay? When I pay off my bills, when the children are in school, when the children get out of school, when I get over this physical ailment, I'll be happy. That is not, you need to learn to thrive in difficult situations. When you find yourself in the pond of life, and the pond has got waves in it, learn how to sail in the waves. And when it feels like it's about to take you under, learn how to fish. Have a good time. Number three, you want a bad attitude? Wallow in the pit of worry. How can you tell if you're wallowing in the pit of worry? It's what if this happens, or what if that happens, or the worst case scenario. Spend all your time wrapped up in yourself, paralyzed by fear. Don't even think about the verse in Matthew 6:27 that says, who by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Let everything just get you worried. Matter of fact, I can tell you, if you're a warrior, and you say, I can't tell if I'm a warrior or not, do people call you a worry wart? That's a good indication that you got some problems with worry. So now, not wallowing in the pit of worry. Number four, consistently put your needs above the needs of others. Adapt, it's all about me attitude. Put your needs above your spouse, above your children, above your co-workers, above your friends. above everybody. Put your needs above them. Be sure you don't get be sure when you don't get your way, throw a fit. That'll give you a bad attitude in a heartbeat. Watch this now. Number five, there's only six of them. Somebody said, praise God. I'm kind of scared to look up sometimes. When I look up, I take my glasses off. Oh, they're reading glasses. I can still see. Okay, never mind. Number five, don't ever get involved in church. You can show up at Easter and Christmas, but if you go to church, you may become spiritually enriched and experience the joy of a relationship with God and get a chance to be with people that's going through the same things of like you are. Number six, don't ever think about giving to the Lord or giving to the church. Don't be a generous person. This is how to have a terrible attitude. Just practice these things and you'll be there. Praise God. So if you want a bad attitude, here's your steps. Follow them. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to check yourself. If you answered yes to one or more of the above, then your ability to lead, your ability to love, your ability to do whatever it takes is going to be hindered. So you need to look and figure out how to adjust it while we're getting ready to talk about. So get ready. So here we go. Four steps to a super attitude. Somebody say, praise God. All right. Get ready. About saying praise God. Okay, there you go. First step, praise God. Watch this now. Romans 8:28 says, we know too that all things cooperate for the good of those who love the Lord. Cooperate, work hand in hand. See, I know with Bethany, it hurts. I've shed tears. You know, I've had, and I know I'm the only one that everyone sees. One side of me wants to strangle her. I know I'm not holy like the rest of y'all. But I love her. But you know what? I know that this is all part of a plan that in the long run, it's going to help us all. And so I thank God for that. I thank God all the way to courthouse, all the way to jailhouse, all the way to courtroom. I thank God. I thank God now because something good is going to come out of this. Amen? How many in here the worst day of your life became your best day? So it's okay. We know that all things cooperate for the good of them who love the Lord, who, pursuant to His purpose, He's now called them. So now watch this, Romans 8:28, the Amplified Version. We are sure to know that God, being a partner in their labor in all things, work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and who are called according to His design and His purpose. Amen. So watch this now. Watch this. Here it is. There's four things I want you to do. If you answered yes to any of those things before that says how to have a bad attitude, I want you to take it. I want you to look at this now, and I want you to help this mark out the other ones. Ready? Number one, focus on the future. It's not always going to be like this. Somebody say it's not always going to be like this. I know I heard somebody say, yeah, it's going to get worse. I thought I heard that. Now look at somebody and tell them it's not always going to be like this. Focus on the future. Everything God allows always, listen carefully. You're taking notes. Write this down. Everything God allows in your life points to your future. One more time. Because we won't look back. Why? What did I do? What did I do? What did I say? Could I have done this? Coulda, shoulda, coulda, did, woulda. Everything God, because remember, He's a partner. Everything God allows in our lives always point to our future. All right? Remember that. God's plan for you, here's another one to remember. God's plan for you is bigger than your problem. God's plan for you is much bigger than your problem. So number one, focus on the future. Number two, you want to have a good attitude? Focus on the solution. And that solution is, there is always an answer. No matter what, no matter how bad it looks, no matter where you feel like you're standing with God now, There is always an answer. Somebody say there's always. There's always an answer. All things work together for the good. It didn't say all things work together for the bad. It didn't say all things were good. All things may not be good, but they all work together for the ultimate good. Understand? I've had some very bad things happen in my life. But later on, it wound up being a blessing to me and to somebody else because I'd been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, and could show the person how to put their t-shirt on. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "For no temptation, no trial regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you or laid hold on you that is not common to man. That is, no temptation or trial comes to you that is beyond human resistance and that is not adjusted and adapting and belonging to the human experience, such as man can bear. But God is faithful to His Word and to His compassionate nature, and He can be trusted." Somebody say He can be trusted. "Not to let you be tempted and tried beyond your ability and strength and resistance and power to endure. But within every temptation, He will always," y'all say always, "always provide the way out, the means of escape to a landing place, that you may be capable, strong, and powerful enough to bear up under patiently." And then, number three, look for the good in things. Look for the good in people. God is always working. God is always working for our ultimate good. Look for the good in the situation. I had somebody one time, I had somebody literally complaining. I kid you not. I had somebody literally complain that my attitude was too good. And I heard them. They didn't know I was listening. And they said, "That man has got the best attitude." Said, "Matter of fact, he looks pretty good in everything." And he said, "I guarantee you, if that car flipped 25 times, he'd say, 'Well, look, at least the antenna didn't get bent.'" Look for the good. What's wrong with that? Look for the good in everything. And then finally, look for the lesson. There's always a valuable lesson. When God allows things to happen in life, look for that lesson. There's a lesson somewhere. If He allows it, there is always, somebody say always. Always a reason. I'm almost through. Get ready. I know y'all don't believe it, but watch this. Anybody got a timer? Mark it for an hour and see if I ain't through in an hour. All right. Philippians 4. I love it. Philippians 4. And 11 says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. For I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." And I like the Amplified version of that. It says, "Not that I am implying that I was in any personal want, for I have learned how to be content, satisfied to the point where I am not disturbed or disquieted. And whatsoever state I am, I know how to be abased and to live humbly in straitened circumstances, and I know how to enjoy plenty and live in abundance. I have learned in any and all circumstances the secret of facing every situation, whether well fed or going hungry, having a sufficiency and enough to spare, or going with or being in want. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me, for I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength." In I am all sufficient in Christ. Sufficiency. So watch this. I'm almost through. Amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody else say, "I don't believe it." We're going to make a believer out of you. Get ready. I was the one that Ray said something like Jerry Clower the other day. He got me laughing. And he said, "Jerry Clower's sitting back there somewhere." All right. Take responsibility for your attitude. It's your compass. See that compass up there? It's your compass. It's going to decide whether you're going negative or positive. Not me. I'm not responsible for your attitude, and you're not responsible for my attitude. We are responsible for our own attitude. So watch this. Again, we're going to go back to that scripture that we just read. Attitude has very little, I mean very little, to do with circumstances. For I speak in respect of what I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith be content. So I'm getting ready to ask you a hard question. Get ready. This is a hard one. It's already up there. Is your problem really your problem? Get ready. Or is it your attitude towards your problem that's your real problem? Woo! That's a mouthful. That's a mindful. Is your problem really your problem, or is it your attitude towards your problem that is your problem? Because I've seen people with the same problem. And I see some people thrive in that problem, and I see some people dive in that problem. I see some people live in the problem, and some die. So, attitude has little to do with your circumstances, whatever state you're in, whether it's good, bad, or ugly. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. All right, who knew what that was? Somebody help me, because I was trying to make it sound good, bad, and the ugly. Well, never mind then. I'm glad I told y'all so y'all wouldn't think I just lost it, okay? Well, y'all still think that, but at least now you know it weren't because of that. I was in line at Lowe's yesterday, and there was somebody behind me in the checkout line, and there was somebody behind, there was rows, and there was somebody behind that row, so the person behind me couldn't see that person. And I turned around, and I said, "You're looking good." They said, "Yeah." I said, "No, you can't help it." They couldn't hear anything going on. I was actually reading the man's lips. "Yeah, all right." And I said, "When I grow up, I'm going to be just like you," and all this, blah, 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 blah. And I turned and saw the person. "I'm sorry, I'm holding up the line." She says, "I'm just wanting to know, is there anybody back there?" She said, "If somebody's back there, we ain't got a problem. If there is nobody back there, can you please move now?" Okay. Your attitude, number two, your attitude can change just like your circumstances. "For I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. And everywhere in all things I've been instructed to be both full and be hungry, to abound and to suffer need." In other words, your attitude can change just like your circumstances. You got to know when to hold them, and you got to know when to fold them. Get ready. You got to know when to walk away. You got to know when to... All right, y'all got it now. You never count your blessings while you're sitting at the table. when the blessing's done. All right. Y'all good. Number three. See, y'all getting, your attitudes are getting better all the time. Y'all actually smiled some. That's looking good. Number three. Attitudes can be improved if we learn how. The best thing, remember, your attitude is your thought life turned inside out. So watch, your best thing about your attitude is that it's yours. And you can choose to change. I talk to people all the time, and if it's a married couple or people are having differences amongst themselves, and I tell them and say, pray for God to change them. And I'll go, "Well, I'll pray for God to change them." But you know what? The only person that you can change is you. But sometimes that's all it needs in a relationship, whether it be marriage or boyfriend, girlfriend, or whether it be brothers and sisters or friends or whoever. You're thinking, if God would change them, the situation can get better. And you don't realize that, number one, only God can change them. And then they have to allow Him. The only person you can change is you, and you have to allow God to change you. But if you allow God to change you, it's amazing how sometimes the problems can be all better. This guy had a car for sale. This truck, it had 400,000 miles on it. It was a Ford on top of that. Somebody said it was just broke in. I don't know who said that. Time to change the oil in the 400,000. Okay. Okay, so this guy had a truck that had 400,000 miles on it. He said, "I got to get rid of this thing." Nobody wanted it because it had 400,000 miles on it. So he went to the man that knew how to take the speedometer and turn it back, and he got it turned back to 50,000 miles. He got riding down the road and went back to the place where the man said, "You'll sell it if it only had 50,000. The man said, "You won't sell it for 400,000. You better have 50,000. Somebody will buy it. They'll jump on it then." So he goes back by the place where the man said, "If you had 50,000, looks in the truck, says, "I see you got 50,000. Said, "Are you ready to sell it?" He said, "Sell it?" He said, "Look at this truck, how good it is. It's only got 50,000 miles on it." See, It's on your attitude. So now, attitudes can be improved if you learn how. Again, attitudes are nothing more than habits of thought. Number three, or four, I'm getting ready to close, believe it or not. I told you I would. I'm so mixed up, I've got daylight savings lag. Anybody got that lag? You get that lag twice a year? Sometimes I can't remember, do I skip forward or skip back? Do I jump forward? Then I think, when I fall forward. Then I said, no, if you actually, you really really call out, you really fall out, you fall backwards. Never mind. See, it always gets me a bad attitude on these days like this. Right, attitudes have a source for their strength, and that is, I can do all things. I have strength for all things through Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything. I'm equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength in me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. It's your attitude, not your aptitude, that will determine the success in your life. One more time, listen. It is your attitude, not your aptitude. It's your attitude, not your ability, that will get you forward in life. Amen? God is watching. The world is watching. So here it is. Here's you can, you can't. When you think about these, and we're closing with these. You can, you can't. You can, you can't. I've got 150 items. Get ready. Ready? Number one. You can't control the length of your life, but you can control its width and its depth. Wow, that's a mouthful. Last night, yesterday, DC and Daniel were and Sam were fixing my roof. And y'all didn't hear me. They had one board standing straight up and one board laid to the side. And DC said, tell Daniel how long that board is. And I said, well, it's 96 inches long. Then I went to the board laying on its side and I said, and it's also 96 inches. Okay, y'all got it. You can't control the length of your life, but you can control its width and its depth. Number two, you can't control the contour of your face. Some of us, my mama had three normal children and one exceptional child. I didn't say it was me. Y'all just assumed. Thank you. You can't control the contour of your face, but you can control this expression. Okay? Number three, out of 150, get ready. You can't control the weather, but you can control the atmosphere of your mind. Positive, negative. A bucket of water, a bucket of gas. God is not calling you to be anybody other than you. Did you know that? God didn't call you to be me. Somebody said, thank God. Okay, then maybe He did call you to be me. I don't know. God didn't call me to be anybody in here. God called David Linton to be the best David Linton he could be. Now, God's give you sufficient gifts for what He's called you to do. We get frustrated when we try to be like somebody else because we think we should have the same giftings and promptings and abilities that person has, or that we can sometimes even learn them, and some are learnable. There's stuff that's learnable. Knowledge is learnable. But there's a God gifting within us that makes us unique. It's a unique stamp. There's things that everybody in here, there's things in here that only you can do. Did you know that? Only you. Only you. But He does want us, not to be anybody else, but He wants us to be the best us we can be. Remember this. Next week we're going to have the Jews for Jesus here, but the following week we're going to talk about guilt and getting beyond guilt. But right now, God wants you to be the best you that you can be. I want everybody to stand. Fellas, come play some UBU music. Everybody, let's stand. God is awesome. I told you I was almost through. Praise God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You're amongst family, you're amongst friends. There's things that happen in all of our lives that can destroy us if we let it. We don't have to let it. There's things in our life that we just give it to God and God will take care of it. We just ask God to do what He can do and we'll do what He can. We do what we can do and He'll do what He can only do. Right now, in the name of Jesus. You may be here. And you may not know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. Before we do anything else, that's the most important. That will make or break your attitude quicker than anything. If there's anybody in here with every head bowed, every eye closed, that does not know Jesus as their personal Savior, but would you raise that hand? I'm not going to make a spectacle out of you. You don't even have to come up here if you don't want to. Would you just raise that hand and say, I don't know Jesus, and I need to know Him before I leave this place. Maybe you're here, and you've walked away from Him. There's no other way to describe it. You walked away. He didn't walk away from you. You walked away from Him. You don't feel that strength that you used to feel. You don't feel that anointing that you used to feel. Because you and God aren't tight like you used to be. And I'm talking to you right now, every head bowed, every eye closed, not going to make a spectacle out of you, not going to even make you come up here if you don't want to. And I'm talking to you right now, well, nobody's looking around, could you just put that hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor. I am not where I want to be with God. I'm not where I need to be. Touch Him, Lord. Touch Him right now, Lord, in a very powerful way. Make that difference that only You can make. Maybe you're here this morning and maybe you didn't realize that your attitude was a bigger problem for you than your problem. And you have to stand strong and true and trust God and walk in faith, have an attitude of faith and trust. And you're needing God right now to help you have an attitude adjustment. If I'm speaking to you, but just raise a hand. Nobody's looking. Just say, pray for me, Pastor. I need an attitude adjustment. I need God to help me with my attitude. Bless them, Lord, all over this place. Bless them. Now, if you got a need from God of anything, if you got need God to do something for you, through you, in you, with you, I invite you to come here and pray. All that will, come up here and pray. God's got something special for you. God's got something special for you. Trust Him. Trust Him. God has got something special for you. God is in control. God's got everything under control. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. God's got everything, everything, everything under control. It is not my problem that's going to get me. It'll be my attitude toward my problem. Because I have to realize once I give it to God, now it's our problem. And when it's our problem, God can do something. As long as I hold it on to myself, nothing's going to happen. But when I give it to God, now it's our problem. He'll handle it. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. I love You, Father. I praise Your name. I praise Your name. I praise Your name. I praise Your name. Father, help me to realize it's not my problem. That's my problem. It's my attitude toward my problem. God, I need You. God, I need You. God, I need You. God, I need You. Touch, Lord. Anoint, Father, in a special way right now, God. Help us, Lord, to see, to know, to understand. Help us, God, to understand that You're in total control, God. That You trust us, Lord, enough, Lord, to allow us to go through things so that we can grow. We can grow. We can grow. I thank You, Lord. I thank You right now. I want the deacons, if you will, to come on up here. All the deacons come up here. I want y'all. Anybody else wants to help me pray for Bethany? Come on up here. Y'all lay your hands on me. We're going to pray for Bethany. Slide over by Brother Billy. We'll get my Brother Billy so he ain't got to even get up. All right. Anybody wants to pray for Bethany, come on up. Wait just a second. There's someone coming.
And he walks with me, and he talks with me.
Yes.
He tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry. None other.
Thank you, Father.
Shall ever
touch Linda right now, Lord. Bless her. Lord, touch the boys, Lord. Touch all the children, Lord. Help them be able to help Bethany. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yes, glory. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, brother. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other shall ever know.
Praise God. Come back tonight. We're looking for something good to happen tonight. Amen. How many's had a good time in the Lord today? Yes. Somebody give somebody a high five. Turn and give somebody a high five. Tell them God's awesome. Go ahead. Turn around. Turn around. There's somebody behind you or in front of you. Find them. Give them a high five, low five, no five. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your house, God, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Touch us right now, Lord. Help us, God, to give our own self an attitude check, Lord. And help us to have that attitude that you had, that the cross, we know, is not going to be too heavy, but that you're going to be there with us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said, amen. You're dismissed.